Today, I'm happy to be continuing our new Christmas series called The Thrill of Christmas, where we'll be reminded with the birth of Christ, God gave us true faith, hope, joy, and peace forever with Him. Today, we're going to be focused in Luke chapter 2. We're going to continue on from Luke 1 last week. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, with the message called Joy and the Long-Foretold Son of God. I love the thrill of Christmas morning. I don't know about you. I know like a lot of the commercialism makes some of this stuff tainted, but it's just neat to be a dad now and a husband who gets to think about giving my family, which I love, gifts, you know? And it's neat. We plan for it all year long. We save up, and all year long I'm kind of looking for things to buy my family and finding all the deals. But it's that anticipation, right? The thrill of wanting to give people that you care about a gift. And it's so neat when that thrill is given back to you through the people in the way that they receive the gifts, right? So you come Christmas morning, and even though Sunday morning is a gift to see you guys, by the way, but Christmas morning, and you know you have the gifts under the tree, they're wrapped, and then to see your kids' faces as they see the tree. Me and my wife often the night before will stay up way late and we'll wrap a bunch of gifts. So they've been seeing some of the gifts start to be there just because we needed the tree to look decorated. But they'll come and all of a sudden there's all these other gifts that they didn't have any idea that they were going to get, you know, and the thrill on their faces. And it was like, man, can we open them now? What can we do? You know, like, you know, hold on. We got to eat some rolls together and talk and hang out and just like, can we do it now? Can we open them now? No, we're going to watch this show together and read the Christmas story. Oh, okay. All right. You know, and that kind of thrill of the anticipation and all those kind of things. And they get to see them open the gifts and they actually love it, right? They love it. They aren't disappointed. That's not a thrill, you know, when you see them, they're disappointed in what you got. But often, if you do it right and you know your family well, they love it and they're exclaiming and they want to play with it right away. And you can't even get onto the second gift because they want to play with the toy you gave them and they want you to open it. So you guys have all experienced that, right? And I love that about Christmas because I think about God the Father. After the fall, He knew that He wanted us to be His children and He wanted to adopt us and bring us into the family. And He had a plan all along to redeem the world and He would give this gift of His Son to the world. And the anticipation that came was, this is the moment. He's going to be born. I'm going to reveal the gift that I've been preparing all along, right? And the anticipation. And then we see in the Christmas story how so many people responded to the thrill of God giving the gift with the thrill inside of themselves of wanting to be a part of that and respond in faith and the joy and all those kind of things. And so we're going to have a similar story today of that. So go to Luke 2. And we are going to start reading it in verse 1. And if you need a Bible, there's a Bible in the seats in front of you. All right, Luke 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And here's the main characters of our story today, the shepherds. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known for us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all of these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Today, there's a joy that we want to talk about that comes from God's gift, his son, Christ. And there's, you can only find true joy in Christ. It's a feeling that isn't something that you can muster up on your own. It comes as a result of God doing what he says he's going to do and coming through. Often, if you're a Christian, you know that we've talked about joy in the sense of it's not always delirious happiness. It's not always this laughter or this response that is just like super up and all those kind of things. And that's true. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you can have joy in the circumstance like James talks about, where you should have joy no matter what because you know what God's done and what he's done for you. That's true. But there are moments in the Bible where you see joy displayed in this exuberant happiness and this proclamation of God and this unbridled passion and singing and all the things that took place in this story. And we're going to talk about it in that way today. What true joy is and where it comes from and where it's found and what the result of it is. Okay, so point number one I want you to get from our story today. The true joy of Christmas comes from the unexpected and the unmerited favor that God shows us in Christ. True joy of Christmas comes from the unexpected and unmerited favor that God shows us in Christ. Unexpected favor, right? So you see, Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. The shepherds were in the middle of doing their normal mundane job that they did every day. They were doing their thing. They were watching their field. And unexpectedly, in that moment, God interjects himself into their story and says, "It is time to reveal the plan to you," right? And it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were filled with great fear." Like we learned last week, whenever an angel shows up, you know, if you know your Old Testament, and a lot of these guys did, I'm sure the shepherds knew, if an angel shows up, number one, they're kind of scary looking. And if you read the Bible, they're not like creatures that if you've never seen them before, that you would be like, "Oh, yeah, they look nice," you know? Like, they look like fun, like we should talk and hang out. They aren't those kind of creatures. They would fill you with dread because they're the kind of beings that are just otherworldly, you know? And so, number one, there would be that type of fear just because I've never seen anything like this. Is this a monster? You know, but then also, whenever angels show up on the scene, they either do one or two things. They either bring really good news, all right? There's that. But more often than not, especially with the history of the world up until this point, where Israel has been in and out of worshiping false gods and worshiping other idols, and they've been in this 400 years almost of just rebellion against God, not hearing from God. God silenced his voice. And so, like, if an angel shows up all of a sudden, it's usually not going to be a good thing. It's going to be a sign of judgment on the people. And so they feared. They feared. And so the fact that the shepherds were not expecting this news is a big deal. But number one, I mean, also, not number one, also they would not be expecting this good news because of who they were. Angels don't show up to people like shepherds, usually, all right? It was pretty crazy that God would show up to them first after the born of Christ. The life of ancient shepherds was difficult at best. It was life for loners who were often treated like a bunch of losers. Shepherds were seen as outsiders, looked down upon, resented, made fun of, and despised by the rest of the community. And in fact, their reputation was so bad that they were not permitted to even give testimony in the court of law because they were thought to be untrustworthy. They had this kind of reputation at the time. Genesis 46:34, every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. So the Egyptians had it out for them, and that culture kind of carried over. Shepherds were dirty. You know, they were just always out in the elements in the field. They probably stank. And if you've ever been around livestock before, smells really bad, right? You have the tendency to step in things you don't want to step in when you're around livestock. And the shepherds were those kind of people. They were dirty. They were the outcast. People didn't get to see them. They were just doing their thing. And people didn't trust them because they didn't have a relationship with them because of what their job entailed that they do. But it's neat to think that God would come to these kind of people. And it's very significant because if you think about Jesus and his ministry in the New Testament, who are the people that he made relationship with and came to often? It was people just like these guys, the outcast, the down and out in society. It was those kind of people that he came to. It was the poor and the lowly and the people that were just at their wits' end, didn't know where else to turn, the people that had burned all their bridges, that people didn't want to have anything to do with. Those were the type of people that Jesus came to because those were the humble type of people that knew they needed help and would respond to him. He revealed himself to those people. It's very significant to think about how the angels came to the shepherds in this unexpected way. They never would have thought that God would come to them and give them this news. They weren't those types of people, right? And then if you talk about the grace that God showed the people of this world, we know that the Jews at the time, they thought that they were the only ones that would receive the gospel. And fast forward when Jesus came, the Jews thought they were the chosen. They thought they were the best of the best. They thought they were the only people that God loved. And what did God do? He went and showed the gospel to the Gentile nations. He went to people that nobody would have expected them to go to at the time. That was his MO, and that's what he was enacting and starting here. The grace and the hope of the gospel to people that usually aren't the mediators of God. The shepherds were told first, not the religious leaders, which is pretty interesting. Because we already see what happened when God went to a religious elite before the birth of Christ. He went to Zechariah. We learned about it last week. What was his response? Was he filled with faith at this test of God? No, the news wasn't met with joy. It was met with skepticism. Now we know Zechariah turned around and he got his stuff straight. But that's an indicator of how people who were religious at the time often responded to Jesus. Think about his ministry. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, when they heard the news, they knew all the signs. They should know better. They saw Jesus living these things out. What did they meet him with? Skepticism, right? There's no way. They hated him. They were jealous of him. All of those things. Hostility, doubts, all right? It was the shepherd type of people, the fishermen, the tent makers, and the poor and the outcasts that were humbled enough to look to Christ for life and to see his coming with joy and humility, okay? And then implications for today is the people who have done so much wrong often are the people that turn to the gospel. I talk to people so much that have this history of making bad decisions and history of falling out. And there's so much guilt and shame. And to go to them and tell them the gospel that Jesus came to take on your plight, die for you because of what you did, because God wanted you to have a relationship with him that was right. He wanted you to become sons and daughters and that he's forgiven you. When you go to people like that, that are in the middle of that kind of outcast in society, for whatever reason, self-made or because of the situations that happen in life, man, it's amazing to see the joy that comes over people's faces when they truly get that. You know, when you tell them, God loves you. This is what he did for you through Christ. And it's pretty amazing. And so these were those kind of people who were unexpected favor shown to the shepherds. But it was also unmerited. Verse 10 says this, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." When you think about these shepherds and getting to hear this news, right? They didn't deserve this news because of the implications of this news. All throughout the Old Testament, you see people, writers in the Psalms and in different places, writing in response of joy. They have joyful responses, but it's always mentioned in unison with the great deeds and the character and the identity of God, along with how he saved us from our sin. Okay, so this theme of joy is not just like this awesome circumstance, like the gifts that you get at Christmas morning. It's not that. Joy in the Bible is a response to knowing that you don't deserve what you're getting because of what you've done wrong, yet you're receiving it anyways, right? 1 Chronicles 16, 23-27. I'm going to read some verses for a little bit. Try to turn with me if you can. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the people. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He's to be feared above all gods, for all gods of people are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Listen to this. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are excellent ones in whom all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their name on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lions have fallen from me in pleasant places indeed. I have beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel in the night. Also, his heart instructs me. I've set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Listen to this. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. You make me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You see this kind of pattern? It's like, God, this is who you are. This is what you've done. This is how awesome you are. We are sinful people, yet you hold us and you save us and you make a way. Psalm 63, 3-8, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I'll bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips. Psalm 95, 1-3. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let's make a joyful noise to the rock of salvation. The rock of salvation, right? He saves us. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let's make a joyful noise to him in songs of praise. Remembering what he did, right? Remembering what he's done for us. And we know that Mary's song of praise last week we read Luke 1:46, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on my humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty, who has done great things for me, holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud with the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought the mighty down from their thrones. He has exalted those of humble estate," right? Just like the shepherds. "He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, his offspring forever." See the pattern, right? The shepherds knew they weren't worthy of his grace because they were humble enough to know they didn't deserve anything from God. And Christmas season is a reminder for us of the great deeds, character, and identity of Christ and how he saved us from our sin. And our response, if our hearts are in the right place, should be the same as the response of the angels and response to the shepherds. It should be one of great joy, right? So the true joy of Christmas comes from the unexpected and unmerited favor that God shows us in Christ. But number two, the true joy of Christmas will then lead us to the uninterrupted and unceasing worship of Jesus as Lord. Say it again. The true joy of Christmas leads us to the uninterrupted and unceasing worship of Jesus as Lord. Uninterrupted worship. It's pretty neat. Read verse 13. "And suddenly, there was with the angel," so just gave this awesome news, right? Here it is, joy. But they didn't just stop there. "There was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." Can you imagine being a shepherd in that moment? All right, so you're like out in the middle of this field. You're doing your job. You're surrounded by smelly sheep, right? You're doing your thing. Angel appears, says, "The Lord that has been prophesied is here. He's born. This is where he is." And then right afterwards, all right, so like you're dealing with that information, right? Like that's a lot. All of a sudden, there was one angel, and now there's a multitude in the heavens. And they appear, and they start singing a praise and worship song. You know, like, what would you guys do? Like, would you sing with them? I don't know. Maybe I would sing, or maybe I would just be in shock. Like, you know, like angel voices all around me, like this angel choir. You know, it's amazing that what the angels' response were. I love the picture here. I'm going to focus on the angels some throughout this message because I think sometimes they get lost in this whole deal. Sometimes we see angels just like they probably did as these kind of scary, robotic-like beings who are very stoic and carrying out their duty and unemotional and somber. They're often pictured that way in paintings or in other settings. If you see a movie, you know, like they're just kind of like real serious. You know, why so serious, right? Angels, but they're shown that way. And we'll project those concepts that we've picked up on through media and everything else and kind of misread the language here, right? So right before they start singing, he says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Those words are emotional words. Those words are words of someone who's invested in what's happening here. All right, this is the person that's in on the plan to give the gift, right? So have you ever been that person? Like where you like you're colluding? Like me and my wife do this all the time. Like we're really excited and giddy, you know, and we're buying the gifts, right? And we're ready, and then one of us is like, all right, it's time to come downstairs, you know? It's time to come downstairs, you know, like it's a big deal. That person is invested, they're part of the plan, they know what's about to happen. It's that kind of thing. The angels, listen, they're servants, loving servants that want to obey God, not just people doing a duty in this moment. Think about it. They've been waiting for this moment for generations. They've always been in the presence of God since their creation. John 1 says that Jesus was there with God in creation. Colossians 1:15 through 17 says that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things, including the angels, were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. For the angels, there was never a moment like us where they were separated from Jesus. They had always got to be in his presence as the king. They knew his greatness and his unending love. Can you imagine just in our lifetime, in our world, that there's this ideal, perfect boss slash father slash caretaker, leader, king, superhero with superhero powers, right? Like all in one, this being that you get to be in their presence all the time. They're the perfect rendition of everything that affects you in this life. They had seen him since their creation. And listen, they loved him and they were giddy with joy, ready to tell people who didn't know him yet what they were about to experience. That's the picture here. All right. So then they get the news and it's like, we can't contain it. All right, angel band, we've prepared this. Let's go. You know, and they're just like song, glory to God in the highest, you know, like this is what we do all the time. Now you get to experience it. That was the picture here. So when it says they suddenly were singing praises, listen, they didn't care that the shepherds had just met them. They didn't know them for very long. That would be a weird thing, right? Imagine going up to somebody that you just met off the street and you tell them about Jesus and then you break into song. You know, like a Disney movie. You know, you're just like, I will tell you now in song form, you know, and then you sing it. Can you imagine, like, you would feel weird about that, right? Well, these angels didn't care. They're like, we got to sing the praises of God. They didn't care they just met him. They didn't know him very well. They didn't care that they were standing in a field with just a few shepherds. They're like, hey, you know, like sometimes in worship services, people and pastors can get embarrassed because they prepare this, you know, like big Christmas service, and then you have like five people in the audience, right? That feels weird. It kind of feels like overkill a little bit. Like we have this whole Christmas cantata, and then only five people show up. Should we do this today? Is this a little bit overboard? Not the angels didn't think that way. Like we have a few shepherds. We have a bunch of sheep. You know, we have creation. We are going to sing. We have prepared this moment. And God is worth it, right? They didn't care that it was the middle of the night. People might be sleeping and might hear them from down the road. They didn't care about any of that. This was their chance to worship Jesus. They were going to joyfully take it, right? Can we be that way during Christmas? This is us. Because we're the angels in the story because we've heard the excellencies of God as Christians. We know who he is. We know the plan. There's a bunch of people that don't know it, and we get a chance to tell them. We get a chance to praise him and worship him. I'm not telling you to go up and sing for people, okay, by the way. But you can if you want to. I don't think God would be embarrassed of you. You know, you may be embarrassed. I remember this situation. I was out worshiping, but I was actually mowing the grass, and it was when we first got our album made for Providence Church, right? So I had my headphones in as I was mowing, and I was like singing along with the songs, you know, just going after it, right? And it was the first time I had really listened to it finished, and so I remember like stopping the mower, and I kind of look over, and my wife is like staring at me. And she had come out to get me, you know, for something. And all the kids are out there and they were doing yard work too. And they were just like, you know, like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? And I remember just kind of like looking at him and I was like, you know, and I turned the mower back on and I just started singing again, you know, and it's like, they didn't ask me a question. They were just all in shock, you know, I had this moment of feeling like really embarrassed for a second, you know, and I was like, maybe I should stop. And I was like, I'm just going to go for it, you know. And it was cool. I love catching Christians that I know, like driving up beside them and they're singing like praise and worship music. Have you ever done that? Like they don't know that you pull up next to them and they're just like, you know, and this is like ugly face singing, you know, and then you look over and they catch your eye and they're like, you know, or I love it when they don't even notice that I'm there and they just go and then they just drive off. And I'm just like, man, that was awesome, you know, to see that. And they're just getting after it. they're just doing what they're created to do, you know. And I think during Christmas season, we get a chance to do that big time. We just get a chance to be who we're created to be. God's searching for worshipers who are worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And this is an awesome season just to get after it and proclaim the news that they needed to hear. The gift that God revealed to us, he's like, hey, be a part of it. Go reveal it, right? It's uninterrupted worship, but it's unceasing worship as well. I love verse 19. After the shepherds went to see Jesus, they told him everything that they had heard and done, everything that had happened to them with the angels, and everybody was in awe. And it says, Mary treasured all of these things and pondering them in her heart. It's a neat little verse, but what does it mean? She was giving her thoughts and her affections to the moment she had experienced, and she was reflecting on all that God had done. Right? She was storing it up so that it wouldn't be lost, right? And oftentimes for us, we can go through the rat race of the Christmas season and kind of experience the joy of it and the thrill of it, and we get through it, and at the end, we just don't sit back and just reflect on what God did, you know, and remember his story and remember what his real intention was, and we don't put these things in our hearts. We make it about something else. And I like this picture of Mary here saying, hey, that was a neat moment, but I'm gonna dwell on what God did there for a little while. I'm going to remember it. And it says this, not only did she not cease to worship in her heart to God, it says, verse 20, and the shepherds returned from their trip, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told. So they experienced exactly what the angels said would happen. And it came to pass, and they praised and glorified God on the way home. This wasn't just a moment for the shepherds to be spectators and watch others worship, maybe as they did earlier with the angels, right? They're like, this is our chance. And so they got in on the action on the way home. They had their own little worship service, it seems like, you know? Can you imagine them traveling and people looking on at them as they're shepherding and they're just singing like, glory to God in the highest, you know? Like they're just, like, you remember that song? Let's sing that song. You know, let's remember what God did and just praising him for what had happened. May it be the same for us. We get the chance every week to come in here on Sundays and do the same exact thing. Right? Together. Praising God together. Getting in after it together. Every day of our life is a chance to do the same. Okay? The true joy of Christmas comes from the unexpected and unmerited favor that God shows us. The true joy of Christmas leads us to the uninterrupted and unceasing worship of Jesus as Lord. And number three, last point. The true joy of Christmas will also lead us to the unashamed and unbridled proclamation of Jesus as the Son of God. Verse 10, we'll go back. The angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you great news of great joy that will be for all people. Listen to the news. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The angels have a really cool voice in this. Remember, they're standing in the presence of God always. Since the first they were created, for generations upon generations. And when they get the moment to tell others, they joyfully seize the moment. So they were praising and worshiping God, but just the fact that they just wanted to tell him, they were so excited. I love my kids. They'll often go off to see Mama Mimi, or they'll go do something fun that we've let them go do, and they'll spend the night or something like that. And whenever they come back, we'll be like, hey, so tell us what happened. Tell us what was awesome about it. You know, tell us what you're thankful for, those things. And I love it because our kids always want to kind of fight over who gets to tell. I don't love that they fight, but I love that they're so excited about telling us the news. And so one of them will go, and say, hey, we got to eat candy and all day long. Mama me, let's eat candy all day long. we didn't have to take naps. We stayed up all night. We played video games all day, like they'll do that. Hey, hold on. Let me tell them something, and somebody else will jump in and say, hey, we got to go to Let's Play and we got to go do this. Hey, but let me tell them about Let's Play. Somebody else will jump in. We have six kids. They're all like fighting, jumping in. And by the end, all the information's been told and one person gets left out and they're kind of sad because they're like, oh man, you guys told them everything. I didn't get to tell them anything, And that's kind of the way they work. But I love it because they're so thankful for what happened that they got to go. And they got to experience this, that they just can't help but tell us. They're joyful about it. It's like, let me in on it, right? And that was the angel's MO. And that should be our posture during Christmas. I can't wait to, look, you're saying too much. Let me say something, right? I'm not just gonna let you tell everybody about Jesus. Let me tell some people. All right, I'm not going to sit back and listen to so-and-so who's really good at evangelism, and hear all his stories about how he's going to tell people. I'm going to get in on this too, because this is my turn. And that was the posture of the shepherds. They heard from the angels, and they didn't wait for the angels to show up and appear to Mary and Joseph and tell them things. Not that that was going to happen. I've got to tell. They've got to hear the news. I have to say it. And it says in 16, the shepherds left hearing from the angels and they went with haste. They're like, we have to go see what's happened. Left with haste, they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known to them the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Right? So they're like, we have to tell everybody. You will not believe what just happened. This is amazing. This is who God is. This is what the angels said about the Son of God, this baby that we get to see. And they told people. It says, all who heard. Okay, so you combine that with the last verse, that they returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen and had been told to them. The shepherds were getting after it, telling people. They were proclaiming it on the trip back. They were proclaiming it there with whoever showed up in the town. They were getting after it, telling people about it. Jesus. The very ones the world will not allow to give a witness in court, like we learned earlier, God chooses to witness to the world. The silenced ones were now the shouters of Jesus. The loners were now the leaders of praise. And we should never forget the story of what God has done for us, because we were the same. If we believe the gospel, we believe who we were before Christ. We're the same. God found us in our humble estate, proclaimed the news, right, of who he was. And then he's like, go respond in faith. Go see this child. right? Make haste. They did. And then as they went, they're like, we got to tell everybody. Got to tell everybody. It's kind of a little neat side note. I don't know if this is true. It's a historical kind of thing that people, I've read a lot about. How did the shepherds know to go to Bethlehem? Because if you actually read the story, it's either like information left off, because the angels only says, you're going to find them in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. It doesn't say it's in Bethlehem, right? It doesn't say it. So they either knew the prophecy, which could be the connecting the tea leaves for us, you know, it could be that. They knew the prophecy, or the angels actually told them where to go. We just don't hear that. But some people speculate that these shepherds were actually kind of special shepherds, even though shepherds were still outcasts no matter how special you were. They're shepherds that were dealing with the flock for the temple, where they would offer sacrifices. So these sheep that they were shepherding over was actually in a region that could have been where they kept the sacrificial lambs that would be used for worship, right? And so the people of God would sacrifice these lambs, these pure lambs, and so these ones were special, being raised up for that specific purpose. So then when the angel says that their baby would be wrapped in swaddling clothes, they would know that, because with their special lambs, these special lambs would be actually wrapped in swaddling clothes in order to keep them safe and pure and all those kind of things. And so there would be an indicator like, hey, we know where to go. We need to go to Bethlehem. That's where we're going to find this child, because that's where the swaddling clothes that they would be wrapped in a manger, just like we would do with our sacrificial sheep. We'll find them there as well. So it's a neat thought. Side note. But they went. They went with haste, faith. They're like, we have to see this. We have to be a part of this. We have to cherish and worship the Son of God with joy, because we realize what we've been saved from and what this means for us and the implications of it, right? The true joy of Christmas comes from the unexpected, unmerited favor that God shows us in Christ. The true joy of Christmas will lead us to the uninterrupted and unceasing worship of Jesus as Lord, and the unashamed and unbridled proclamation of Jesus as Son of God. May it be true of us this Christmas season that we remember what we were saved from. This is the beginning. Christ's coming was the beginning of that process for us. Christ didn't come. We don't have hope. We don't have peace. We don't have faith. And we can never have joy, true joy, that will last forever. His coming was the beginning of all of the things that sometimes we take for granted every day. This feeling of like, it doesn't matter what the world does to me. It doesn't matter the circumstances of this life. It doesn't matter how crazy things get around me. It doesn't matter what's going on with the job situation and the government and the food supply issues and all the things that we struggle with, coronavirus and the new variants and COVID vaccines and you name it. Let's just go on and on. All the things that we worry about, we're tempted to worry about. For us Christians, we have a hope that's bigger than those things. We have a hope in Christ to know that no matter what the circumstances of the world take place in our life, that God holds us and keeps us, that all things work together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. If you're sitting in this room and you've received Jesus, you've been called according to his purpose, he's keeping you. Everything that is happening, James says, is testing you and making you more perfect and complete, lacking in nothing, equipping you with steadfastness. There's nothing that this world can do to take that away. We have the hope. And it all started with Jesus coming and taking on our plight. And that should be a joyful thing for us. And if we really, truly have the joy that comes from remembering those things and pondering those things in our hearts, what will happen is we'll worship big time. We're going to get a chance to do it here in a minute together. We'll worship big time here together and in this life, but then we'll go. We'll tell people excitedly, just like the angels, man. Like, I have to tell you. I know the story. You don't know the story. Good news is coming, right? And the shepherds, we'll be like the shepherds and follow suit. Romans 15:3. May it be said of us, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope.
We are so encouraged that you chose to engage with God's Word on our Provenance podcast. For more biblical teaching, resources, media, and to financially support the mission of Provenance, please visit ProvenanceChurch.com. Until next time, go equip one another to embody humanity's one true purpose.